Good morning, beloved. We are working through a topic of study called Living Faith. In fact, this is part 3. This is a type of faith that God requires. However, the world we live in works on the premise seeing is believing. Seeing is more important than believing. Faith has to do with believing even if you do not see it. This world also promotes doubt. To become an overcomer, you must withstand its onslaught by possessing a living faith that's active in both good and bad times. Again, let us return to our key verse of scripture found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It reads as follows: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read that again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. From this verse, it is evident that the process of believing or faith in action is a supernatural dimension. It deals with things not seen. From Paul's writings, we know that things unseen is permanent and possesses a greater value than things seen. Things seen are temporary. As believers, we are privileged to be exposed on the know-how of this living faith by studying the Word of God. Faith is exercised in the realm of things hoped for and things not seen. Peter plainly states that we do not hope for that which we can see or that which we already have. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we do not yet see. Otherwise, it would not be faith. Faith would be turned to sight. A living faith, beloved, is an active faith. We show our belief in God and His way of life by striving to live like our loving God and loving Daddy and faithfully follow the principles He gives us in the Bible. The activation of this living faith comes from you constantly and regularly indulging yourself in the Word of God. Just imagine what our lives would be if we did the following every single day, of course, besides time spent in prayer. What if we did the following? Listen to a half an hour podcast, an inspiring or motivational message or preaching by some fired up preacher that touched the very soul that we possess. Secondly, we constructively studied the Word, either a topical study, a character study, an expository study, a thematic study, a word study, or a verse by verse study, and this is done for an hour. Thirdly, we following our systematic reading plan of the Bible for half an hour. That would amount to 2 hours of building up your faith or activating your faith. The spiritual landscape of your personal life will be changed. Your marriage will be refreshed. The atmosphere of your home environment will be ordered and peaceful. And you will be in a better frame of mind at your place of employment, and unnecessary distractions won't affect you. Beloved, let us all strive as spiritual beings to embark on this exercise, 2 hours of daily supernatural inspiration. I challenge you today, and I challenge myself today, if I can faithfully lock myself into this pattern daily without being distracted by any form of distraction. This will certainly place a strong foundation in our lives and allow us to connect more meaningfully to the heart of Abba Father. I would like to draw your attention to Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39. Not much is spoken from these verses today, but I see the danger of not living by faith. This is what it says. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This verse is also quoted for us from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. This verse is quoted at least 3 times in the New Testament, and it actually becomes the foundation on which Paul writes 3 of his epistles. But each time there is an emphasis upon a different word in that verse. In Romans chapter 1 verse 17, the emphasis is on the word just. In the scripture or text, the just shall live by faith. And Paul emphasizes the justification of faith. In the book of Galatians 3 verse 11, the emphasis is not on the just of faith. The emphasis is on the live. The just shall live by faith. So Paul, writing to the Galatians, stresses the life in Christ. So Paul, writing to the Romans, talks about the justification of faith. Paul, writing to the Galatians, speaks of the life in Christ. And Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, it says the just shall live by faith. The emphasis is on faith. So what faith is this? The faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So in 3 different passages of scripture or texts in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith is repeated by Paul to the Romans, by Paul to the Galatians, and the writer to the Hebrews, speaking about the justification of faith, the life in Christ, and the faith in Christ. Let's turn to the scripture in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It says as follows, "Behold, his soul which is lifted is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Hallelujah. Here is a contrast. It is a contrast between the person who is lifted up in conceit, pride, and self-righteousness, and the person who is justified by faith in God, acknowledging the faithfulness of God at all times, whether it's good times or bad times, and who is made righteous through faith. This verse, the verse in Hebrews 10:38, really serves as an introduction to chapter 11, which is our key study narrative or our key study text. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, Paul very cleverly draws from the Old Testament illustrations of the saints who did live by faith. These were men who were just made righteous before God. They lived by faith, faith in and towards God. Beloved, there is no other means of justification. We find this clearly brought out when we study the book of Romans. Faith is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God and a gift from God. Let me repeat that. Faith is not of ourselves. It comes from God. It is a gift of God and it is a gift from God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Let's read together. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace, which is the faithfulness and the cooperation of God, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In this transacting between you and God, between me and God, God enters dressed in grace, and he expects us to be dressed in the garment called faith, which is a gift from him. The result of this will be the access to the supernatural dimension. Beloved, God always is dressed in grace, and when we meet with him, this grace is imparted to us, and he gave us the gift of faith, and he expects us to use that gift of faith. Beloved, you know, when you give a gift to somebody, it may be a dress or a shirt, and when you see that person wearing that shirt or that dress, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel that the person that is accepted that gift is filled with gratitude, is filled with appreciation and respects, and receives that gift with much appreciation. So just like that, when you are dressed in faith and you have that faith active in your life, it puts a smile on the face of God, and he knows that the gift from him is appreciated by you operating in that gift, of faith. And this faith that I'm talking about is a supernatural faith. It's a faith that is living, hallelujah. Because it's living, it is able to do supernatural stuff in your life and my life. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to successfully complete this transaction of grace meeting faith. God is a rewarder only to those who diligently. I like to expand on that word diligently. In the Greek, this word means industrious, hardworking, assiduous, showing great care and perseverance, being meticulous, being thorough, being careful, being attentive. And in the Latin, this word means to value highly or to take delight in. Now, when you're seeking him, you have to seek him with all these words in your mind, hallelujah, diligently. You got to seek him. He's the object of your seeking. We focus on him. He's the center of our living. You have a choice. You really have a choice. Sons of God, concentrate on him. Faith places him as your main focus, not anyone else, not anything else. David the psalmist also encourages us to delight ourselves in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Please do not concentrate on the desires. Concentrate and take delight in him. It is then, or it becomes his prerogative to grant you the desires that you have, according to Psalm 37 verse 4. David also is so confident when he says in Psalm 23 verse 1 that the Lord is his shepherd. In Psalm 37 verse 3, David encourages us to feed on God's faithfulness. Note, feed on God's faithfulness. In other words, God is the resource. God is the source. God has unlimited stuff to allow you to feed on him. And God is always faithful. Because he's always faithful, he's always resourceful, he's always open, he's always available, and we can feed on him whatever we desire, as long as we make him the object or the center of our living. In Psalm 25 verse 1, this is what the psalmist says: to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. He further states that in Psalm 25, verse 12 to 14, that the result of us believers placing our trust, all of our trust in him, is the following. Number one, we will dwell. We will reside. We will live and abide in prosperity. The word prosperity has to do with wealth, plenty, riches, security. So if we will dwell, man, if we place Him as number one in our lives, seek Him first, seek Him diligently, make Him the foundation in our lives, continue to be connected to Him, we will not just have a trickling amount of prosperity, but we will dwell in prosperity. We will abide in wealth and plenty and riches and security. Secondly, our descendants shall inherit the earth. God will open supernatural doors for our children, for our grandchildren. God will do supernatural things for our descendants. They will inherit the earth. Come on, we are going to see this happen. Thirdly, the secret of the Lord is with us. When we have our faith in Him, when He becomes everything to us, when we seek Him diligently, man, the secret of the Lord will be our portion. And fourthly, He will show us His covenant. He is the initiator of this covenant. This covenant belongs to Him. There is a covenant called the Lord's covenant. He will show us His covenant. A covenant is binding, beloved. He is faithful to the covenant He makes and keeps. This covenant has unlimited liability. Since He commits to this, His covenant, it is sealed in His blood. He does not renege. He doesn't rescind. He doesn't revoke. He doesn't renounce. He doesn't abandon or annul this covenant. It is reserved and set with those who fear the Lord. What do I mean by the fear of the Lord? They highly respect and honor the Lord by believing in Him and making Him the center of everything in their lives. This covenant has been ratified. It has been legitimized. It has been endorsed by Abba Father by appointing a high priest, namely Christ Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek, who is ministering from the right hand of the Father, enabling us to operate as kings and priests upon this earth and in allocated jurisdictions. We are a royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And this series will be coming to you later in this year. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified, executed, killed with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, after successfully dying to my own will, to my own plans, to my own desires, to my own wants, to a conceited and proud lifestyle, I live by faith in the Son of God, Christ Jesus, our High Priest, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Living faith or supernatural faith is not natural faith. It is not mental faith. It is not presumption, and it is not faith towards self. The righteous man must live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 pleads with us not to draw back, not to backslide, not to enter a state of perdition. To draw back is to refuse to go on and go forward. Israel drew back from following the Lord into Canaan, and thus they all perished in the wilderness. The Bible says that God will have no pleasure in such a person that draws back. I know that this COVID-19 period had a very negative impact on your spiritual life. This exposed that some of you heavily relied on the corporate gathering to keep you going, but fail to develop a closet life. Both are just as important, beloved, and are needed for spiritual sustenance. When we are faced with challenges, whether it's personal or social, if we do not address and leave our drawing back to fester, we can end up like Judas as a son of perdition. This is dangerous, beloved. We just cannot take advantage and mock the grace of God. you will be found out. It is used expressly of Judas the apostate and fallen apostle of Christ, and is also used of the Antichrist as the son of perdition in the book of Revelation. It is also used of those who have a love for money to such an extent that they go into perdition. I just pray that our people of GMDS will not end up in this state. Perdition is a place of loss and eternal destruction. I urge those who are not tithing and giving offerings to repent and start exercising supernatural faith in your supernatural faith in our supernatural God, so that you can miss entering full-blown apostasy. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, according to Hebrews 10:31. The expression drawback is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament word backslide. The word backslide is used a number of times in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Jeremiah and also in the book of Hosea. Backsliding may lead to apostasy. No one simply becomes an apostate. It always begins with backsliding in the heart, a drawing back from the things of God and from His Christ. Only God knows where the line is crossed for this backslider and the apostate. The backslider may come back to repentance. However, the apostate cannot come to repentance. No return, unfortunately. The word backslide basically has the meaning of the following from Strong's Concordance: to flinch, which means to pull away suddenly, to go back, to retreat, to apostatize, to be idolatrous. It has to do with heathenism. It has to do with being refractory. In other words, to be stubborn, to be obstinate, to be unmanageable. A good example was the nation Israel. God divorced Israel and she became married to other gods. David represents a backslider who repented and returned to the Lord. King Saul represents apostate who ends up in spiritism and did not come back to the Lord. Apostle Peter represents a backslider who repented and returned to the Lord. But Apostle Judas represents an apostate who ended up in suicide and did not return to Christ. The writer closes on the saving of the soul in the last part of chapter 10, which speaks to me about a return to that point from which you departed, returning to respect for God and His divine principles, returning to an acknowledgement that only Jesus the Christ can set you free, and returning to this place of believing and having faith that the Holy Spirit can aid you and to make those necessary adjustments. Beloved, living faith is a witness that you are connected to God and that you are reliant on His faithfulness. Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul is saved by faith, and the loss of the soul is through unbelief. Please do come back to where God wants you to be. Seasons of chaos and storms are inevitable in life. These seasons can make you feel as if all is lost and abandoned, because the wreckage of what is left from the storm can feel daunting and beyond repair. The beauty of Christ is that He not only is the Lord of restoration, but He is the God of making all things new in His time and work. Let us pray, beloved. Dear Lord, we have seen the damage firsthand that storms can cause in our lives. Some of us have been affected during this last year when we could not meet as a church. we were affected negatively. We know the destruction, aching and devastation that these storms and challenges cause. If we are being honest, at times it can seem impossible that anything beautiful or good can come from such sorrows. We know within our hearts, Lord, that this isn't the end of the story, that you have something far greater to come. Father, we ask today for your hand in our lives. We pray for the restoration of our lives by your process. That process may not look like what we would think or plan, but we know that because you see all that is and all that was and all that is to come, that ultimately you will do what is most compassionate and best. Father, today we come before your holy throne to ask for your restoration in our lives. We submit ourselves to your ever-loving will and kindness throughout. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to acquaint yourself fully with Hebrews 11 for part 4 of the series Living Faith. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of this day and the rest of the week. Take care, beloved. Thank you.